Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our Florida Roundtable podcasts at BillMick.com. Last week, and for the third major storm in a row, the Big Bend region of our state got hammered with Hurricane Helene. It was devastating to a region still recovering from last year's storm. It's also election season and a presidential election at that. Just what happens when polling places or other election facilities are knocked out of commission or even completely destroyed? The election will go on, but how? To explore that with us this weekend, Brevard Supervisor of Elections Tim Bobanek joins us to highlight contingency plans when disaster strikes, but elections must happen. An informative hour is ahead right now on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Nice to have you with us. We get started in moments.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
In the aftermath of the storm, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind boaters to pay extra attention while on the water. Water conditions can be hazardous because of debris or displaced vessels. In addition, new shoals or sandbars may have formed, and navigation markers may be missing or damaged. Some areas may still be experiencing high water and flooding and may not be accessible. You can report any damage to navigation markers to the FWC at 866-405-2869 or visit myfwc.com for more information.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call 800-830-0715. That's 800-830-0715. Again, 800-830-0715.
And welcome back to the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick, along with Brevard Supervisor of Elections, Tim Bobanek. Tim, thank you for taking the time. It's good to have you in here.
It's always a pleasure to be back in the studio with you, Bill.
Let's talk a little bit about who Tim Bobanek is, as many of these folks around the state may not know. We have an election season upon us. It's elections already underway, as you and your staff well know. But we got hit with a big hurricane last week, the Big Bend region getting hit really hard, and probably having facilities issues for actually conducting an election. And I know you guys have contingency plans. You've got them in writing. You know what's going on. And there are a lot of options that are in play. But before we get into all of those, let's introduce Tim Bobanek to this statewide audience. You got into elections when and how?
So I really got into elections in 2009, and that was when I started as the IT director for the Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections.
Okay.
I spent 4 years there, went through that 2012 presidential election. That was my first. And then moved.
That's a nice training ground, a presidential election.
It was. It absolutely was. And then moved over to Brevard County in 2013 to work as the IT director for our prior Supervisor of Elections, Lori Scott, and worked for her up until 2022. When she announced her retirement, and she recommended me for the appointment to the position of Supervisor of Elections, and mm-hmm. I was blessed to have Governor DeSantis go through with that. So in October of 2022, I was appointed Supervisor of Elections, and then was just recently reelected here in the 2024 primary.
Yeah, so first election you faced as a candidate.
That's correct.
And you had a primary, and you won the primary, and now it's done because the write-in candidate in that race had dropped out.
That's right. So I'm looking forward to four more years as Brevard Supervisor of Elections.
Yeah, you've been a supervisor now for a couple of years, and you've got that under your belt. But I want to go back into your IT experience, because that world has changed elections immensely. I know when you mentioned Lori Scott, when she first got elected, we started introducing things, not that she did it, but the legislature did, more mail balloting and early voting. And I, in my role here, had gone and experienced each of those to be able to talk about them articulately. And it really changed how elections are conducted.
It is. You know, we have the three methods of voting authorized here in Florida, and not every state has those options. You know, so and from the technology standpoint, things have substantially changed since I first started in this business, especially in the realm of security. You know, cybersecurity, election integrity has become the forefront of every conversation now with elections. And so having that IT background really, you know, helps out a lot with that process.
So as you dealt with IT through those years, what were your primary goals or focus?
Well, you know, the number one thing is having backups and contingency plans. You know, that which really lends into our conversation that we're going to have today here is, you know, using technology to make it easier to vote, but also ensuring the security of that vote as well. Mm-hmm. So having that IT experience, having that IT knowledge, we've really changed. I mean, it wasn't but, you know, years ago, I mean, when I first started at Hillsborough County, we were still using paper precinct registers. We weren't even using electronic poll books. Mm-hmm. We were only using those in early voting.
That was a big transition. That changed things a lot, made a lot quicker at the polling place even.
It was huge. And then when I came over here to Brevard County, Brevard County was doing the same thing. They used paper registers in 2012. And so in 2013, we made a huge technology leap. We purchased all new electronic poll books, and we upgraded all of our voting equipment to what we're currently using today.
It was a major change, and it made things, what, more efficient for your office, I would imagine.
It did, especially the electronic poll books. You know, going, you know, for those who don't remember, you'd have to go into the polling place. We would have these different tables, and if your last name was A through L, you went to this table, mm-hmm. M through Z, and it never failed. There was, you know, 20 people in line at one table and nobody in line at the next, but you couldn't go to the other table
because
your name wasn't
it?
In the book.
That's right.
So, you had to go through that process. And really, there was no security from the standpoint that if you went in and let's say you had a mail ballot and you wanted to vote in person, you're just filling out a paper register. We're not updating that history and on your voter record until days after the election. And so there was no way to prevent somebody from then submitting a mail ballot. With the electronic poll books, I know within 30 seconds that somebody has checked into the polling place, and it will then prevent anybody from accepting a
mail ballot. So advances in technology have changed a lot in your world, and I would imagine they're going to be helpful in this disaster situation. We will explore that as we continue on the Florida Roundtable in moments here on the Florida News Network.
Have you lost Florida Medicaid? At healthcare.gov, you can find a low-cost, quality health plan.
Do plans cover doctor visits?
What about emergency care?
And prescriptions?
All covered and more. Plus, with the new law, 4 out of 5 customers can find a plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Enroll today for coverage starting the first of next month. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibella for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Brevard Supervisor of Elections, Tim Bobanek. And Tim, I want to take you back to the primary election here in Florida in August. And you had a situation in Brevard County where you had lightning strike a polling place and you had to have plans in play to deal with something like that. Tell us what happened in that particular situation.
So later in the day, on election day, we had some pretty heavy storms roll in, and we had a polling place in the Cocoa area that got struck by lightning, and it was a complete loss of power. So we had to act immediately, and you know, we always have contingency plans for this. First off, it's very important. You know, we have contacts at FPL, and they know to prioritize elections and polling places. If we've got a power outage, they know that they're going to send those trucks and they're going to get
and they're good about that.
They're excellent about that. They're wonderful partners. They always have been. And we've had a couple elections where we've had power outages, and they've always been just right there ready to help us out at a moment's notice. You know, but we also have a contingency. We have got a, you know, a backup generators. We have battery powered generators
and
as
you
well
have those,
gas generators.
You have those at each polling place?
Not at each polling place, because I have, you know, all of the polling places we have, we don't have enough to staff with each one.
Right.
But the voting equipment itself is all battery powered or run on battery backups.
Okay.
So the tabulators have their own built-in batteries. The ADA voting equipment has batteries. And the electronic poll books, we put battery backups on those as well. So the goal is to keep those running long enough to where we can then deploy a generator depending on the situation we have.
Okay.
We just recently purchased some battery powered generators because you have some that you have some locations that where a gas generator may not, you know, be appropriate if you have an indoor place and it's a very long distance, and you certainly can't have a gas generator with exhaust, you know, pushing out fumes inside a polling place. And so we got out there, but I'll tell you, this is usually the case. By the time we get there, FPL's already done their job and gotten us back up and running, and that was the case.
You kept voting because you had these battery backups in play in spite of not having power at that particular polling location.
Exactly. And it might be slowed down a little bit. So what we do is, you know, we have multiple poll books at the polling places. We'll take it down to one so that we conserve that battery as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The tabulators, those will run for 8-9 hours. Those will run for quite a long time. But the electronic poll books, they don't have those batteries that we run on those, don't have quite the same life. So we want to conserve that, but we still want to ensure that the voting process is moving forward.
Understand that this particular polling place was in a church.
Exactly. Yes.
I've never voted by the light of a stained glass window.
Well, it certainly is possible. But I'll tell you, the other contingency we have is, let's just say for argument's sake that the battery died on that electronic poll book. We still send printed paper registers to every single polling place so that the voting process, the check-in process is unimpeded. That way, if we have to, we can resort back to those paper registers so the voters can check in, we give them their ballot, and then they can proceed and cast that ballot into that voting machine.
That mean that your staff would have to later on electronically put that information in?
Then we would go back and we would enter and assign that voter history to all those individual voters, just like we did 15 years ago.
Okay, very good. Let's talk about contingency plans in general. You never know what may happen. In this case, we're talking about a hurricane that hit the Big Bend. We've talked about you having a lightning strike at one of your polling places, but you don't know. You could have flooding. You could have other issues that might crop up. You have a general contingency plan in play at the Supervisor of Elections offices around the state?
We do. Actually, every Supervisor of Elections is required to have a continuity of operations or a COOP plan on file, and we have one. We keep it up to date. You can't plan for every possible contingency because you just never know what's going to happen.
Sure.
But you try to do the best you can to, you know, we have plans for everything from if an office gets hit, relocating from one office to another, what we would do with phones, everything like that. We've got all kinds of plans for all those types of contingencies as best as possible.
I would imagine in your IT role before you became supervisor, you were integral in helping put those plans together.
It was, and we didn't have anything like that when we first started. No supervisor of elections office really had, you know, the contingency plans that we have now. You know, we've got a hot failover site at an alternate location that's nowhere near our prime facility, which has houses all of our network server infrastructure. So if we get hit at our election support center where most of our stuff is stored, we can then
which,
fail
thanks
over
to the Brevard County Commission's in a flood zone, but we'll talk about that another day.
No, it surprisingly held up pretty well in this last storm.
So you can have the option. In that emergency situation, I would assume it's not something where you can wait for a call from the Secretary of State or the governor's office. You have to move and make this thing happen.
So there's certain things, and we'll talk about that, is, you know, what takes governor's approval versus what we can do immediately. So if we've got a polling place power outage, we deploy power, things like that. You know, that's one thing. Getting approval for relocating polling places, as a lot of these counties are going to have to deal with this upcoming storm, mm-hmm. that's a totally different animal that requires, you know, governor's executive orders and so forth, which is what's kind of going on right now, is the supervisors of elections in those affected counties have already sent in a request to the governor to run under a modified set of procedures for this upcoming election. And it's very similar to what was done 2 years ago when Hurricane Ian came through mm-hmm. and really hit Charlotte County, Sarasota County, Manatee counties, and Lee, that whole area over there. And so they're kind of following the same pattern that we did 2 years ago. Now, luckily, Brevard was not affected by this storm, you know, from the standpoint of elections or polling places. We were very lucky. Not only the Big Bend area, but, you know, our friends over in the Hillsborough and Pinellas counties were absolutely devastated.
They had major storm surge there.
They did. And I'll tell you what's interesting is you watch all of these storms and you see this coverage on TV and you see these disaster areas, and it's usually not areas that you know. You're not familiar with the area. And I grew up in Tampa. I'm originally from Tampa. Spent lots of time in the Hillsborough, Pinellas area. And so watching these videos and news clips, and these are areas I know very well, and seeing, you know, historic restaurants underwater. My mother-in-law 2 years ago lived on Reddington Beach over in Pinellas County, and her building is condemned. It's a complete loss. You can't even get in there right now because it was hit so hard.
Tough to see.
It is. And I've never seen, you know, you see hurricane roll down shutters that were just beat in like they were, you know, pieces of paper up against the window.
From the force of the water?
From the force of the water or something else hit it. It's unbelievable the devastation that happened. You know, so, you know, Big Bend got that eye of the storm. And I think that people didn't realize, you know, that storm was 150 miles plus off the coast, the eye of the storm off of Pinellas County. But they still got hit really, really bad.
I believe the number I saw, it was over 600 miles wide in total. And so that west coast of Florida got a lot of storm surge, a lot of wind, and a lot of water, a lot of rain.
They are. I mean, it's just, you see video after video of cars completely buried under sand. Looking at the Pinellas County, I've spoken to them a few times because I'm, good friends with the supervisor and their staff over there. They're down maybe 40, 50 polling locations possibly, and they're looking for contingency plans.
That's got to be tough to recover from. And at that point, they're going to need authorization from the governor. We'll get into those specifics a little later, but some of this stuff you just can't do willy-nilly.
No, absolutely not. You have to have a methodical approach here. You know, luckily, we are still a little bit of time out from the general election, and so everybody's kind of pivoting. You know, one of the biggest challenges was a number of counties were going to be sending their mail ballots at that beginning of that window. Well, that's right when the hurricane hit. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in Brevard County, we send our ballots towards the end of the mailing window, which will go out on Thursday. And some of those counties had to stop, and they had to hold those ballots and make sure they were secure because there was no way to deliver them and for the USPS to handle them in the middle of that hurricane.
As the show airs this weekend, we're a month away from Election Day. So overseas ballots are out, and as you mentioned, the in-state mail ballots are out. Mm-hmm. And what about returning mail ballots in a storm situation? There will be areas, I would assume, that it's going to be tough for people to either receive their ballot or to get it back in.
You know, one of the biggest challenges is receiving ballots. And, you've sent these ballots out. Some of them may have already been in transit right in the middle of the storm. There's mm-hmm. no way a postal carrier is going to be able to deliver mail ballots to, you know, a mailbox that has been washed, you know, 10 miles down the road because the entire road is under sand and water right now.
Right.
And these people aren't there in their homes right now. They're evacuated. And a lot of people, you know, there's some, still some areas where you can't get back in because the emergency crews are still clearing the roads.
Oh, and they're facing this in the Carolinas and Tennessee as well with all the devastation the water caused up there. It was very difficult. It's got to be something. And what about reaching those voters? Is there a plan for getting information out so those voters are in the loop about what they can do, how they can vote?
So, you know, all the supervisors, you know, they will be pushing a lot of social media. They'll be possibly text messaging, emailing voters the status of everything. You know, everybody has the ability to track the status of their mail ballot, when it was mailed, what address it was sent to. You know, one of the things that has been requested by the governor that they did 2 years ago was to kind of implement some changes with the ability to send replacement mail ballots, you know, to addresses that we don't have on file. Another rule that's in place right now in statute is that mail ballots are not forwardable. So if you put a forwarding address, in with the Postal Service, mail ballots by law cannot be forwarded. Now, 2 years ago when Hurricane Ian came through, the governor, you know, made an exception for that for the counties that were affected to allow them to be forwardable. And so
did the post office reply well to that? Because it says on the outside of ballot, you know, do not forward, right?
It's going to be interesting because the legislature, since 2022, the legislature further emphasized that they didn't want ballots forwarded by making us put do not forward in big bold letters on the envelope.
Right.
And so our Elections Association has requested the same thing that they did in 2022 is to have an exception to that and allow the U.S. Postal Service, because people are going to be setting up forwarding addresses to get their mail ballots.
Sure.
And they're not going to, you know, a lot of these people that have no homes to go back to, they're staying with relatives, probably out of town. They might not have the ability to come back to vote at a modified polling place or early voting site. They're going to want that mail ballot.
Right.
And so one of the other things that's being requested is there's a statute that changed a couple years ago that said if I want my mail ballot sent to an address that I don't have on file, that the voter has to submit that request in writing with a signature. The association and the affected counties have requested an exemption on that, which was granted 2 years ago as well, that if a voter calls in and the staff can identify them with their driver's license, social security number, all of the information that we would normally do, that would then allow them to request the ballot be sent to an alternate address.
So there are options out here for folks to be able to get a ballot in hand. Do we have any numbers as to how elections have been impacted in a storm situation? Did the numbers go down in the number of people voting, or do people step up and come out and vote?
Turnout definitely is affected by that. I believe turnout typically would be lower. We certainly saw that when the storms hit Bay County, back in 2018. They were absolutely devastated, and they really had to, to pivot and try to do the best they could. But I think that those affected counties, unfortunately, with everything everybody's got going on, casting their ballot and voting is probably not on their highest priority list.
That may be true. And the other thing is, Election Day is Election Day. Now, we might have weeks of elections the way we vote these days, but everything gets totaled up on November 5th, and that doesn't change, right?
It does not. Nope.
And we'll talk it more with Tim Bobanek as we continue.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
In the aftermath of the storm, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind boaters to pay extra attention while on the water. Water conditions can be hazardous because of debris or displaced vessels. In addition, new shoals or sandbars may have formed, and navigation markers may be missing or damaged. Some areas may still be experiencing high water and flooding and may not be accessible. You can report any damage to navigation markers to the FWC at 866-405-2869 or visit myfwc.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as The Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Hurricanes and elections. Sadly, we're dealing with that in this presidential election year. Bill Mick with Supervisor of Elections from Brevard County, Tim Bobanek, as we talk election contingency plans. And Tim, the Supervisors of Elections from all 67 counties, I have the opportunity to be a member of the Supervisor of Elections. Is it an association?
Yes, it's called the Florida Supervisors of Elections Association. Yes.
All right, very good. And I guess speaking with one voice instead of 10 or 12 different ones in a time where you've got multiple counties impacting gives you an opportunity to speak with one voice to the governor. And the association has written a letter to Governor DeSantis about the impact of Hurricane Helene and things that you guys would like to see in play for an election to go on smoothly in spite of having missing polling places or election center issues, voters that are displaced and the like. What's this letter about, and what do the supervisors want to do in such a situation as this?
So what happened was the association, the executive director and the president of our association, they polled all of the counties to see what damage they had, what contingency plans, what their requests were. And so the letter was written on behalf of just the affected counties. So if we're not affected, you know, like Brevard's not asking for any of these contingency plans because we're going to conduct our elections the way we normally do.
Right.
It's these counties that are really affected, that don't have polling places, that have lost all kinds of stuff. And so,
well, see, we would have talked to them, but they're a little busy trying to get through a problem. And I'm glad you had the time to come in and talk to us, because I think this is interesting to voters of the state and what can happen when a tragedy hits.
It absolutely does. And so this is only going to apply to the affected counties, which is exactly what happened in 2022 as well. The executive order that that the governor ultimately issued was only applicable to those affected counties. And the letter that was sent, there's actually additional counties being added to the list. Mm-hmm. A couple of counties have contacted since then. The original list was Charlotte, Citrus, Dixie, Hillsborough, Lee, Levy, Pinellas, Manatee, Sarasota, and Taylor counties. Mm-hmm. But there's actually a number of other counties that have been added to that list that have finally been able to do their assessments. And some counties are still out there doing their assessments.
Right.
It's very especially these large counties like you have, for instance, Pinellas and Hillsborough, who are twice the size of Brevard County from a voter registration standpoint and number of polling places. So one of the things that was done in 2022, was done in 2018 when the storms came through, was basically extending early voting through Election Day. You know, unlike Election Day, early voting, anybody can vote at any early voting location. And we accomplish that by using ballot-on-demand printers. We print your ballot depending on who shows up at that early voting site. Election Day, we have pre-printed ballots, and they go to those Election Day polling places. You have to vote in those.
They are, in many cases, precinct-specific.
They're precinct-specific. Mm-hmm. And in these affected counties, those precincts are gone. You know, those polling locations, they're not available anymore. And so most of the county, you know, early voting sites are much larger facilities. They're typically county-owned or government-owned facilities. Sometimes they're large convention centers. And so it goes to what we call a vote center model, where instead of having individual precincts where people have to show up, that you have people can show up at any one of these locations, wherever they're displaced, whatever their current, you know, early voting location that's closest to them, they can go and cast their ballot.
Are all of Florida counties equipped this way and have this ability for these voting centers for early voting?
They do. So every county has the ability and does conduct early voting where anybody can vote at any early voting site. And now you might have some very, very small counties that might only have 10 precincts where they may not use ballot printing technology because they only need to pick and pull from, you know, one of 10 ballots.
Sure.
But here in Brevard County, that's a much, you know, I'm not going to have a pick and pull ballot system for 160, 170 different ballot styles.
Sure.
So we print the ballots on demand. So by law, early voting cannot go anywhere longer than the Sunday before Election Day. So what the association and what the counties have requested is to extend that early voting vote center model through the Monday and Tuesday on Election Day, so that people can go to wherever it's the most convenient for them to cast that in-person ballot at facilities of whatever is available in the county.
Sure, because they're not going to be able to open certain places that would have been a polling place.
Absolutely not.
Some of them may not be there at all.
Absolutely not. And it's one thing, you know, you don't have control as a supervisor of elections if a church is completely wiped out or a civic center or some other facility. You know, you are subject to the whims of their availability. And, you know, their goal is to try to get everything up and running, you know, at their own facilities and hosting, you know, Election Day voting is probably not on their top of their priority either. You have so many places that are just, they're unsafe, and then people just can't get to anymore. So that's when you kind of implement that early voting model through Election Day.
Sounds to me like this could be an idea for the legislature down the road, that if we go to a voting center model as opposed to all these individual precincts, it would be cost effective. You could put in large counties like Brevard, we're 72 miles long here, you could put multiple voting centers in and still be deploying less people and less equipment than you might with all the precincts you have. It could be a cost saving measure and more convenient for voters.
And this is something that has been discussed as long as I've been in elections, is getting off of the Election Day individual precincts and going to vote center models. And there are some other states that actually operate under that model.
Mm-hmm.
So far, there hasn't really been any traction or any interest from the legislature on moving to a model like that. But it certainly has been implemented multiple times here in Florida as a result of, you know, disaster recovery.
Now, there are things, and going back to the letter that the association sent to the governor, relocating or consolidating polling place locations, part of that request.
And, you know, one of the big things with that is we have the ability to relocate and consolidate polling locations on our own. However, the statute limits that to you have to have that done within 30 days of an election. Well, you know, we are getting very close here now to where we're going to be within 30 days, and there are still counties that are out there. They don't know whether they have all their polling places or not.
Not to mention, there are other tropical waves out there that could bring another storm our way before the election.
We've got another system that's out there that's kind of making its way our way. And so they're not going to know for at least another week or two about the status of their polling location.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that request is to have an executive order to have that an exemption of that within that 30 days to be able to move a precinct and polling place. The supervisor of elections will still be required to notify the voters of that affected change which would typically be to mailing a notice, posting it on the offices of our office, your doors, posting it on the website, social media, things like that. But it's you'll
I would
see
imagine
is,
getting help from media partners would help too, TV, radio, whoever's out there.
And they are. And the media always really steps up and helps get that communication out there. I've been watching all the news, and there's been some focus on that. Tampa Bay Times just did a recent article about Pinellas County and what they've been requesting. So, you know, it's definitely, you have to get everybody involved. Everybody, it's engaging the media, it's engaging social media, it's engaging your websites, it's doing everything you can to get that message out to those voters. And so, you know, you might have a polling place that maybe only one or two precincts voted at, that you might have now five or six or seven, precincts voting at that location. The voting equipment can be programmed to accept a ballot from whatever precinct that you assign to that. So that's the real nice thing about
there again, technology helping a lot.
And technology, you know, it used to be that we couldn't do this. So now I can program a precinct tabulator to accept a ballot style from one of 10 precincts if I had to move all of those to that single polling location.
Oh, wow. That's very good to know. Moving on, vote by mail, ballot modifications, those are possible as well.
Yes. So the two things that the supervisors have asked for, and we kind of discussed this in the last segment a little bit, was first off is to have an exemption to where voters don't have to send a signed written request to send the ballot to an address that we don't already have on file, as long as the supervisor of elections can validate that voter's information and ensure that we are, you know, dealing with the actual voter. It's, you know, people don't have printers and have the ability to print and scan or fax that written request to our office. So, you know, that's one of the things that they're, you know, if somebody calls in and wants to get a mail ballot sent to an address that we don't have on file, you know, the supervisors are asking for an exemption on that. The other thing that they're asking for is if a voter has requested forwarding service because their mailbox, their house is gone, and they want their all their mail sent someplace else. Statute right now prohibits mail ballots from being forwarded, and so the supervisors of elections are asking for the same thing that the governor granted 2 years ago, which was an exemption for those affected counties to allow the U.S. Postal Service, if somebody has a forwarding address, go ahead and send that mail ballot to that forwarding address.
Last thing in next to the last thing in the letter is drop boxes, secure ballot intake stations. What's going to change with those, provided the governor goes along with it?
So the secure ballot intake stations, the designation of those sites, the locations, has that same 30-day requirement. And so they want an exemption to allow us to, you know, to designate alternate sites to move those, because we're going to be moving those polling places, potentially setting up those early voting sites. So they need the governor's authority to designate those secure ballot intake station locations with less than 30 days before the election.
That would make sense. Now, how generally amenable will a governor be to these types of requests?
You know, he was very amenable in the last election when this happened in 2022. And that was as we were going right into that midterm election. Same thing in 2018. I think every year we've learned a little bit from what we've done and how we've conducted prior elections. So I'm optimistic that he will, honor the requests of those supervisors.
Supervisor of Elections Tim Bobanek from Brevard County with us on the Florida Roundtable. Another aspect of this we haven't talked about, and we do that next.
If you recently lost health coverage due to a life change, healthcare.gov is here for you. Like it was there for Marcus when he lost his job, and Keisha when she turned 26 and lost her parents' insurance, and Elena when she went off Medicaid. There are many other ways to qualify. Visit healthcare.gov today to see if you're eligible to enroll. Limited time to enroll. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
There's a lot on the line this election. From protecting Social Security that you've earned to supporting family caregivers. And you have the power to make the candidates listen. Because older voters decide elections. That's why AARP Florida has created a guide with the most up-to-date information about when, where, and how to vote. Make sure that the candidates hear from you. Get trusted information at aarp.org/votes. That's aarp.org/votes.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Make your garden come alive with Quality Greens Specialists. Discover Quality Greens' beautiful nursery with thousands of fruit trees, fruiting plants, flowers, herbs, and vegetables. Enjoy an explosion of color and see amazing results in your garden. Quality Green has the very best in organic-based, sustainable products to grow everything super productive, strong, and healthy. Quality Greens Specialists, 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Conveniently open 9 to 4 daily. Online at QualityGreenSpecialists.com.
Contingency plans for disaster time elections. Brevard Supervisor of Elections Tim Bobanek with us as we discuss what's happening when a storm like Hurricane Helene impacts our elections. And Tim, there's an angle to this that we haven't talked about, but by law, you as a supervisor of elections and all the other supervisors in the state have to conduct poll worker training for every election. You had a primary in August. You still got to train your poll workers again on the very same things you trained them on just a couple of months ago. So it's going to be difficult for some of these counties experiencing this difficulty to train those workers yet again. Are they looking for exemptions or changing training time? What are we doing as far as training poll workers here?
So they are asking for a couple of exemptions relating to poll worker training and poll workers in general. First off, there is a training requirement that before every election that every poll worker has to go through mandatory training. And, you know, I've been visiting with all of our poll worker training that we've got going on for the general, and I always start off with them saying, hey, welcome to round three of poll worker training. And it's going to be very difficult to schedule and get poll workers that are even available to work to come in for that third training session. And they were just trained, you know, 2-3 months ago on the exact same topics, on the exact same procedures. Nothing's changed between the primary and the general. So one of the things that the association and the affected counties are asking for is an exemption for the training requirement that if they've previously attended poll worker training within 2 years of the election to waive that training requirement for that poll worker and allow them to just serve in that capacity if they've been previously trained in a prior election. And that's a big, very beneficial thing because a lot of counties have implemented online training. You know, we do supplemental online training. So the requirement to have that in-person training is in statute. If you have that exemption, there's still ways to do a refresher that's online supplemental training for those poll workers if they need to. But even if they can't, you know, that's one of the things that is being requested is to have that exemption for that training.
There's possibility that people who would normally work a poll are not going to be available because they're dealing with the devastation of the storm. So replacing a poll worker and getting that poll worker trained up could take a little bit of time.
It is. It's very difficult. If you think about it, you know, Brevard here, we've got about 1,000 poll workers that we employ before, you know, for every election. And, you know, if your house is devastated, if you have a complete loss, if you're relocated, the last, thing that's going to be on your mind is, serving as a poll worker probably. You know, you've got family emergencies. Now, Brevard is blessed with some just absolutely amazing longstanding poll workers. And through adversity, through everything, they continue coming back year after year serving. However, there is a section in statute that says in order to be a poll worker, you have to be a registered voter in your county. And, let's take you have some counties where they have devastation, but the neighboring county was fine. So one of the things that the association has requested is waiving the requirement that the poll worker be a registered voter of the county in which he or she is appointed to work. That would allow you to recruit poll workers maybe that are out of county, get some people just across the county lines. So let's say, for instance, our southern county in Indian River County had major devastation. They could hire people from Brevard County that lived maybe in the southern part of Brevard to go and help them and be poll workers. So they've asked for an exemption on that aspect.
That sounds good. Are there other things that you're thinking about as a supervisor that these counties might be facing and things you might want to consider down the road?
You know, it's just one of the things that always happens when you have these disasters is all of the supervisors come together and we all talk to each other And I've spoken to, again, Pinellas, I've spoken to a number of counties, and you have supervisors who are lending equipment. And that's one thing that's allowed in the statute and in the emergency rules that we have for contingency plans, is if a county has their equipment damaged. You know, I think one of the counties, their election support center was underwater. And so there's counties that are lending them voting equipment, and they still have to go through the testing procedures and everything else. But, you know, that'll allow them, you know, there's ballot on demand printers that are being loaned over to Pinellas County right now. Mm-hmm. Ballot boxes, supplies, things like that, that were damaged that are unusable in those counties. When you try to implement that early voting model, you need more ballot printers because you're handing out less pre-printed ballots.
Right.
Well, counties, you know, we all have spare equipment, but probably not enough to cover what they're having to deal with right now. So this is where everybody steps up.
Do you see the vendors of that equipment step up as well?
The vendors absolutely do. And that's also allowed in there, is that the vendors can loan counties voting equipment that to replace that was damaged. And then, you know, or a lot of times the insurance will pick up the damage. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had water damaged equipment before that the insurance has picked up. So that, you know, the vendors always have a decent supply of reserve equipment, and they're always standing by ready to help as well.
Very good. Timbo Bannick is with us. He's the supervisor of Brevard County's elections. And all of this, Tim, leads me to a question. I'm going to give you a minute or two to think about it before we finish the show. But given this kind of situation, what's your confidence level that it's going to be handled well, and that voters can be assured that this election in November of 2024 is on the same par that we've come to expect in Florida? And that's next on the Roundtable.
Do you love going on a cruise, or have you always dreamt on going on the cruise vacation of your life? With dozens of cruise companies, who do you call to find the right vacation and deal for you? Now you can make one phone call and shop all the best deals on every single cruise line in the world. You can't get that by calling one cruise line. We have them all, with experts that know the ins and outs of every cruise ship and can tell you the best cruise for your vacation needs. Our cruise packages start at $149. Plus, we offer free internet, free guest packages, and cash back deals. So now is your chance to book the cruise of your lifetime. Call the cruise hotline right now and shop every single cruise line in the world. Here's the number. 800-273-1623. 800-273-1623. 800-273-1623. That's 800-273-1623.
In the aftermath of the storm, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind boaters to pay extra attention while on the water. Water conditions can be hazardous because of debris or displaced vessels. In addition, new shoals or sandbars may have formed, and navigation markers may be missing or damaged. Some areas may still be experiencing high water and flooding and may not be accessible. You can report any damage to navigation markers to the FWC at 866-405-2869 or visit myfwc.com for more information.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrol.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Bill Mick back on the Florida Roundtable with Brevard Supervisor of Elections Tim Bobanek. Tim, we've gone through contingency plans that are in place when an election has to be conducted. No choice. It's got to happen on November 5th. After a storm like Helene and the Big Bend being impacted yet again, third storm in a row, which you got to feel for the folks in that region. You've told us what the plans are, the requests that the supervisors have made, and now it sits in the governor's hands. How confident are you, having been in the elections business for as long as you have, that this election will carry off and carry off well like we've come to expect in Florida elections in recent years? We're a banner for the rest of the country is how to run elections.
We are. And that's what I was going to say is that we have some amazing elections administrators. We have the absolute best in the country here in Florida. We know how to run elections. I am 100% confident that my counterparts in all of these other counties are going to pull this election off. It might not be the same way that voters are accustomed to. They're going to have to adapt, and they're going to have to understand that they might not be able to go to that church polling place that they've always gone to for the last 10, 15 years. But the supervisors are going to find a way to make it happen because they have to. They don't have a choice. And they've done it before. You know, the supervisors in those counties in 2022, they managed to pull it off successfully in 2018 with absolute devastation in Bay County. Mm-hmm. You know, that those guys up there really, really came through. And you find a way to do it. And that's part of what is your job as a supervisor of elections and all of that staff. You know, you just have to work with all your partners, your media partners and everything. And one thing we neglected to talk about is the election, the Emergency Operations Center. We have a fantastic EOC staff here in Brevard County. And a lot of the supervisors will rely heavily on those EOC partners that they have as well, because that's what they live in day in and day out is dealing with disasters. And so, you know, working with groups like them really, really helps out. But I have the complete confidence in all of our supervisors of elections, because we're all helping. We're constantly communicating with each other. And, right now we're just waiting for that executive order to come down from the governor, which I would expect that they're, really looking at that, and they know the urgency on this. So they're taking a good look at that right now.
The other thing I've noticed, and this has not always been the case in Florida, but supervisors across the state have a huge advocate in Secretary of State Cord Byrd. He's been on the show here with us before, and he came in as a former legislator and really embraced elections and the supervisors and the job they have to do. Has not always been the case from the Secretary of State's office.
No, he is, in all of my time in elections, he has by far been the best Secretary of State that we've been working with. I mean, he is an absolute advocate for us. He is very interested in everything that we have to say. He comes and meets with us. We see him at conferences, and he has just been an outstanding partner, and I'm absolutely confident that they will step up and do everything on their part up there in Tallahassee with the Division of Elections to help out these affected counties as well.
Just a little time left in the show, Tim. Anything you'd like to suggest to voters as we approach this election, given that there's areas that are devastated and what may go on here?
If you have a question, call your Supervisor of Elections office. That's probably the best way to get information, or send them an email, check their social media and their Facebook pages. They are going to be putting out information on a constant basis. And so, reach out to that local Supervisor of Elections office, and they will be able to tell you, might not be able to tell you today, but as they continue with these plans and wait for that executive order, they will be communicating with voters. But you have to take a little bit of voter responsibility. You can't just expect everything to just fall in your lap. You need to get out there and do a little research on your own. Say, hey, what is my plan for voting now that this storm has come through?
I would assume part of these contingency plans also are maintaining those individual supervisor websites so that information is available no matter where that voter might be.
That's correct. And every Supervisor of Elections website is going to still be up and running despite anything that's going on with this.
Tim Bobanek, thank you so much for this very informative week on the Roundtable. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick on news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.